B-Pod Studios.
Just because you didn't hear all of Toucher and Rich doesn't mean you have to miss it.
I warned people.
Download the Toucher and Rich podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com. They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's a pest. You know, that's kind of a classless move. If you're going to talk to my face, you can go.
Yeah, that's Lucas Giolito of the White Sox responding to Josh Donaldson, who basically taunted all pitchers as he crossed home plate. That was a couple of nights ago, led to an exchange between the two of them. And you heard Josh Donaldson say at the end of the last segment, "Oh, you want me to say it to your face?" Well, I did. I saw him out in the parking lot after the game. I walked over and I said to him, I said it right to his face. So let me say this again. Josh Donaldson, and this is really just an entry to get into baseball because the Red Sox are playing right now. We're going to switch over to the Red Sox here momentarily as soon as the game's over. And they're absolutely annihilating the Kansas City Royals right now, 15-0. They have one out in the top of the ninth. So this thing should be over in a matter of seconds, if not, you know, minutes or seconds. In any case, Donaldson, as I said earlier, is one of the great hardos in baseball. Has been since he came into the league. He's one of these guys that, like, I play harder than everybody else. He'll start fights. I mean, he's that kind of guy, okay? And he you'd love him if he's on your team. I mean, he's a competitive guy. But he's a total hardo. What kind of jackass, A, like, starts taunting the pitcher as he crosses home plate when he's on a last-place team? And then, B, finds him in the parking lot after the game like they just went out for recess. Mm-hmm. What type of jackass does that?
The guy from Happy Gilmore with the nail in his head. And I'll be meeting you, Shooter, in the parking lot after the round. That's who he is.
He really is, though. I mean, he's a total hardo. Yeah,
or like Johnny Gomes.
I'm with him on this one. I'm with him on this one. I hate Donaldson. I hate sort of a hardo thing. I have nothing against Donaldson, you know, specifically.
No, you hate him. It's fine. Stick with it.
Yeah. No, but I hate the whole hardo act. I hate it. But I'm with him on this one. And honestly, I think it's great for baseball right now because the game on the field still isn't great. The product is not great. Certainly, they've taken the spider tack out of the game now. And, you know, we're getting, we got a good story to go with that. Again, the Red Sox put up 15 runs today. Mm-hmm. And Nathan Eovaldi pitched well.
Good competitive product, yep.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I think we're getting more balls in play. Okay, I think we're getting more. We're still not getting enough, though. It's a small step in the right direction. But Donaldson, I'm with him right now. I agree with him.
He's 100% right. Like Giolito saying it's annoying. Yeah, I bet it's annoying that everybody is calling you out for cheating for the last 3-4 years. Like, I bet that's annoying. I bet that's embarrassing. I bet everybody who does it you think is a pest. I'm sure it would bother me too. It doesn't change the fact that you cheated and you were getting away with it. And now you get called out in the middle of the year and it's time to face the music. And if players want to dance and celebrate or whatever, you know, you can throw at them next time or whatever you're going to do. Whatever power you have as a pitcher, go ahead and do it. I guess I wouldn't duck the guy after you said you wanted to hear from him face to face after the game in the parking lot. But whatever, that's an aside. All he did was wipe his hands off coming across home plate and say to his teammates, although he was clearly making sure that Giolito could hear it, it's not sticky anymore. Like, unless you were really hanging on every pitch in the baseball game, I don't know how many observers actually noticed that. If you were in the ballpark, I don't know if you really even noticed that. So, look, if you get called out for it, I don't understand how you can be upset and pissed and say it's annoying at this point in time. Like, I would really try not to elaborate all that much. The line that, it didn't bother me, we're in first, the W's next to my name, they're in last place, stick with that. All the annoying pest stuff, like, you were the cheater. And now you're getting called out for it. So I don't agree with him at all, Giolito. I'm 100% with Donaldson.
I'm totally in agreement with both of you on this. This has been spectacular for baseball. And I know people are pushing back against Major League Baseball doing this in the middle of the year. I'm sorry, it's good for the sport. It's creating discussion. It's creating interest in the game. It's creating a storyline. You know, which pitchers are cheating, which pitchers aren't. I mean, Aroldis Chapman, you know, gets his face ripped off for the Yankees last night. What's the first thing you do? I wonder how he's pitched since June 3rd. Not well, apparently. Garrett Cole, Garrett Richards, Lucas Giolito, all these guys. You get to find out who's for real and who's a fraud and who gets to whine about it. And it's good for the game. It's not going to last. This story's eventually going to blow over. But in the moment, this is good for baseball. And I am rooting for Josh Donaldson in the parking lot brawl.
Well, so, me too.
I also handicap. He will win the parking lot brawl.
For sure.
So not a guy I would want to brawl with.
Didn't Donaldson
yell in my dugout and point in my dugout and take your helmet off and basically challenge your whole dugout? I'll have a problem with that.
There's your next rough and rowdy right there. Donaldson versus Johnny Gomes. Let's have at it.
I don't have much patience, nor do I have much time right now to be in an arguing match.
Then I like McCarthy, your idea. Get the Happy Gilmore guy with the nail in his head. It could be like a cage match, like a Survivor match or something like that.
Don't forget the grocery store, Jimmy Stewart.
What if you're at a grocery store and the guy right next to you in line is pointing at you and yelling at you? Are you going to go get security or you going to do something right there?
No,
I throw a pineapple at him.
Yep, you got to handle it right there. Yeah, I think that's clear. Handle it right there and take his wallet. No, so quickly. Donaldson's the one who called out Garrett Cole too, right? Yep.
Yes, same guy.
Like, good for him.
Oh, no, he's Hardo Joe.
Like,
oh,
awesome. Yeah. Like, keep it going. Like, he should be calling out every single pitcher in the league. Good for him.
I mean, he's one of the guys that has really been most vocal about it, at least among the hitters, and has come out and called him out. And so I told you, I think I'm with him right now. I think it's good that he's speaking up. I also think it's indicative of the problem the MLB Players Union has, that the hitters are totally anti-pitcher at the moment.
Well, and so I was actually just going to ask you that. Like, you know, you've been around a lot of clubhouses. Like, how does that go over with the pitchers on his own team?
Well, I think Donaldson's the kind of guy that irritates everybody. So, look, there's a reason he's bounced around a little bit, given the fact that he's been a good player.
Yeah.
So he's had a good career, and he went what? He
A's,
went from Atlanta,
Braves,
and then Toronto.
Toronto and Minnesota. Now.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's moved around a little bit for a guy who's been a good player. And I think part of that is because he wears out his welcome. It's like, okay, we've had enough of you. It's kind of like Marcus Smart. I think.
Except he can actually play.
Honestly, that's the exact example I was going to bring up, except the Celtics haven't figured out how to move on yet. Like, maybe you should start doing that. But yes, that's exactly what I was
saying. So that might be coming. We'll see how that goes back, man. That might be coming this summer. But I think there was some similarity there. The one thing that I disagree with Donaldson about is he says, well, you know, Lucas Giolito's spin rate is down on this. It's down on that. Okay, fine. His ERA 2 years ago was 3.41. His ERA last year was 3.48. This year, it's 384. It's not like his ERA jumped a run and a half.
No,
it's not Garrett Richards.
I looked at his monthly splits.
Or Garrett Cole.
Yeah, I didn't dig into it too deep, but I looked at his monthly splits. Like, this month, his ERA is over four, but, you know, last month, it was better. So, yeah.
So what this tells me is, yeah, this guy might have been using it, but he doesn't need it as much as the other guys do. So I think discrediting him as a pitcher was wrong. I think this guy's pretty good. He's a pretty good pitcher. He's not... I don't think he's an ace per se, and maybe he's a little bit better with the glue.
But no pitcher deserves the benefit of the doubt right now.
Well, so that's true.
None of them. I'd be doing that celebration every time I had a hit off any pitcher. I don't care what their spin rate was. I'd be doing that too, because screw them. They've been cheating for 4 years.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the fact that he cited the spin rates, but he didn't cite the ERA. And the reason I think he didn't cite the ERA is because...
I see, because it wouldn't have made his argument.
Yeah, so okay, so the spin rate's down a little bit. He's still effective.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who omits certain statistics to make their point. I would never do such a
thing. No, me neither.
I
try to give the full picture. Pac-Man.
Exactly.
We
don't have much patience, nor do I have much time right now to be in an arguing match.
We do. We give the complete picture. We offer both sides of every argument
always.
Every time.
Yeah.
In fact, it's one of the commandments of the Felger and Mass show.
Mm-hmm. Don't cross sports. God forbid.
Jim is in Hull. Back to Bill Belichick. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Maz. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to tell you that I'm taking it 100% right. Jones is absolutely wrong.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. But what I mean to say is that, you know, Belichick the GM is totally incompetent, and Belichick the coach is still the greatest far and away. No other GM, you know.
Okay, but Jim, I'm going to stop you here for a second because, again, that's not the question. Okay, we've all acknowledged that Bill the GM is not as good as Bill the coach. I think most of us acknowledge that. My question to you is, after last year, because they were not as well last year as they usually are. They weren't. Have you lost any faith in Bill Belichick, the coach?
I have not, but I have. Just because of the fact of the personnel on the field. And the personnel on the field is making all those penalties. The personnel on the field is the one. Keith Bennett.
Not all of them. Too many men on the field is on the coaching staff.
No, it's not. It's on the players that run on the field.
Coaching staff.
They don't know when or not they're supposed to be on the field.
Okay, so Jim, in the past then, did you give credit always to the players when the team won?
Always to Brady for filling in the holes. Not necessarily to every single player, but no other coach could have squeezed 7 wins out of that.
Oh, I so disagree with you. I so disagree. I'm so tired of that argument. Pac-Man, what did the Giants do last year?
6-10.
Do they have a talented roster?
No, they do not.
Do they have a quarterback?
Nope.
So are we talking about Joe Judge like he's the greatest thing ever?
They played in a worse division.
I'll tell you what. I think Bill could have taken that team to maybe 7 wins. It would have been very impressive.
They didn't have the Jets in their division.
No, they had just the worst division in football.
So the Patriots went, 5-9 against everyone other than the Jets?
Yeah, you face Buffalo and you get the crap beaten out of yourself by them. Yeah.
The Giants,
the Giants didn't have to do that.
6-10 with the quarterback. You did look that up earlier, right? Where the Giants rank in passer rating?
I happen to lose those statistics. I'm sure we can find them later on. But yeah, again, so, we present all sides here on the Felgren Mads program.
Yeah, so McCarthy earlier was trying to make the argument that the Patriots had a worse quarterback than the Giants, except that he then found out that Daniel Jones and the Giants actually ranked lower in passer rating than Cam Jones and the Patriots.
However, Maz, actually, that's not true. It is true in the full 16-game schedule. However, because you have discredited those 2 wins against the Jets, we cannot apply Cam Newton's Week 17 against the Jets, which puts him higher than Daniel Jones in passer rating. So actually, by your logic, Cam Newton had a worse passer rating than Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I don't go by my logic. It never works. My logic is never good. Look, the 7-9 with the Patriots, Belichick getting credit for 7-9 to me is embarrassing.
No coach could have done it.
It's embarrassing.
Not another coach could have possibly gone 7-9.
So I'm not telling you it was a train wreck, that it was the Jets, but the team was not as well coached last year as they normally are. Fact. Mm-hmm. Fact.
No other coach would have stuck their head up their ass and onside kicked against Buffalo. No other coach would have done that.
So we'll continue with your phone calls on Belichick. Obviously, the Red Sox still ongoing at Fenway Park. I had to open my mouth and say that it was a game that might finish in under 3 hours.
Royals on the board.
Because now the Royals have made a little noise.
It's 50, nice.
Get Matt Barnes up.
Here it's, we go.
It's here we 15-1 in the ninth.
Come back, City.
But we will get to the baseball team.
No lead is injuries proof.
And your phone calls. We'll do that on Felger and Maz when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. As. What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Maz.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And a payoff pitch to Rivero. Swung on and missed. That's how it ends. Red Sox in a blowout. 15-1 as they rip off 7 in a row. The first team in Major League Baseball to 51 victories.
Here we go again. First to 50. First to 51. Make the t-shirts, Jones.
Well, I thought Dave O'Brien was doing the nasty boy thing now. I thought that was his thing. Where was that?
So Red Sox beat the Royals today 15-1 is your final score over at Fenway Park. It's less about the game and more about the obvious story of the Red Sox playing the way they're playing and now being not only in it, but frankly, I think the division is theirs to lose. The Red Sox now are 51-31. Okay, so let me just get some of the housekeeping out of the way here.
First to 51.
51-31, 20 games over 500. That is a season high. And I don't need to tell you, just do the math. They have 80 games left. You go 40-40, you win 91 ball games. You're in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's good enough in the American League. Absolutely it is.
Okay, I think that gets you in the playoffs. It might only be a wild card because someone's going to get hot in the second half. But I don't think they're going to go 40-40. I think there's a good chance here the Red Sox are going to play even better, not better, but they're going to continue to play better than 500 baseball. And they're probably going to finish. Jimmy Stewart said at the beginning of the year, I almost laughed at him. Jimmy said they're going to win 93 games and win the division. I thought he was out of his mind. Jimmy, do you want to gloat a little?
Yeah.
I would say I'm on a pretty good hot streak right now, so I don't need to. My prediction, and it was not trolling to be negative like you implied last night on the Baseball Hour. It was something that I actually believed, that the Red Sox lineup was going to be good and score about 900 runs, and their pitching was going to be good enough to get them to the postseason, and I thought the rest of the American League was relatively flat.
And just for the sake of history, you picked the Celtics to finish where?
The number 7 seed, Jones.
And they finished where?
Number 7 seed, Jones.
Well, Jimmy's been hot.
Yeah, maybe we got to start listening.
No, Jimmy's been hot.
And stop laughing.
So I want to ask you guys a couple of questions before we get to the callers. And we'll continue with the Bill Belichick discussion if people want to do that. But in the aftermath of the game, the Red Sox won all 7 games on a homestand. They swept the Yankees and they swept the Royals. And they, if you remember early in the year, one of the concerns was they don't play well at home. Well, they are now. And I cannot remember many occasions in Red Sox history, recent Red Sox history, where they won every game on a homestand. I have to believe it happened in 2018.
I just don't remember.
They won like 16 in a row that year, right?
I mean, they won 108 games overall.
Right, true.
So they must have swept a homestand. But I would also put like 7 games or more in a different category than 2 series of 6 games.
Right.
Okay. So sometimes, but even so, 7-0 on a homestand is a hell of a record. And I'm not saying that you played great teams either, but you won them all. Certainly you want to go back to Morgan Magic in the late 80s. They won 24 in a row at home, I think it was at one point. So
what was the streak in 2004? Didn't they go like 35-15 to end the season?
Yeah, they won 10 in a row in August.
They went 40. Yeah, some of those were on the road, though.
Yeah.
They went 45-15 in their final 60 counting playoffs. Okay, so they were, you know, that team was a wagon. It was the best Red Sox team I've ever seen, bar none. But.
Well, besides this one, yeah.
This team is now 20 games over. So let me just ask you quickly, and then again, we'll get to calls too. Pac-Man, what were your expectations for them at the beginning of the year?
I didn't think they were a playoff team. I thought they'd be 500-ish. And, you know, I thought Cora may or may not, you know, make it through the year without another cheating scandal. I don't know. I had very, very, very low expectations for this team.
Matt McCarthy?
I had them at 84 wins, and I was allowing the possibility that if things went really well, they'd get up towards 89.
Okay.
So that's out of the playoffs, right?
I would say
in all probability, that's out.
In a weak American League, though, I could have seen them kind of sneaking in. Okay. But I mean, that was
a best case scenario.
If everything went perfectly, I could see them being an upper 80s team and, you know, maybe something breaks your way and you're a wild card team. I didn't envision this in my wildest dreams. I thought they'd be competitive. I didn't think they'd be the best team in the American League, which they've been for the majority of the year.
I thought it was an 83-85 win team. Best case scenario, maybe they get to 87-88. I expected them to play, and I said to use this phrase over and over, and I think Jimmy will vouch for me. I expected them to play meaningful games in August and September. That was the way I phrased it.
That's accurate.
Be in it. Be in it. Play meaningful games in August and September. We'll see where we are.
I always believed, and Jimmy can vouch for me too.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. Is it fair to reassess and recalibrate and reset the goals and standards?
Yes. Of course. Yes, 100%.
Okay, so what should the goal now be?
World Series.
You should win the American League pennant.
The goal should be the World Series right now. I mean, like, is that my expectation? But if you're going to win your division and you're going to skip out on that wild card game, yeah, your goal should be to win the World Series. And I don't think that's an unreasonable goal right now.
Matt McCarthy, what did you say you would do with the trade deadline if you're the Red Sox? Because I think this all goes hand in hand. Go ahead.
You need to add a major league pitcher, a starting pitcher. It does not have to be Max Scherzer. It can be this year's version of Nathan Eovaldi, this year's version of Jake Peavy. You can go out and add a Danny Duffy from the Kansas City Royals, who you saw in this series, who's been a quality big league pitcher. He's just a guy, but he's a quality big league pitcher.
I like Duffy.
You can add somebody like that.
The Duff Man.
You add a platoon bat, a corner infielder, corner outfielder, a Steve Pierce type. You don't have to give up much in the way of prospect capital, which Chaim Bloom certainly is not going to want to do. And if you do those two things, you might be the best team in the American League.
Okay, so you don't really even want him to do much. That's not really doing much.
No, I think that's doing a lot. You're adding a big league pitcher and adding, you know, a platoon bat who's going to play, what, the vast majority? I mean, you know, a significant chunk with the way that they approach their lineup. I think that would be significant for what Heim Bloom basically told Maz, what, a month ago in regards to the deadline. I think that'd be a significant move for them.
Jones, would you trade one of your top prospects for this team right now?
Yes, of course. I don't love any of their top prospects.
Okay, so do you think they will?
Well, no, probably not, but that doesn't change my thinking.
No, I understand that. I want to get an idea.
I don't believe they're going to, because I bet deep down, Heim Bloom probably says, we're playing a little over our heads right. We're not going to sell out on the future because we started the first, 80-plus games red hot. Like, that'd be my guess as to how they're going to approach it. I think that's kind of a loser's attitude. I wouldn't approach it that way, but if I had to guess, that would be my guess.
Okay, so for example, their best prospect is Tristan Cassis. He plays first now, right, McCarthy?
Yes. Yeah, he was drafted as a third baseman, but he's a first baseman.
Okay, kid's a legitimate hitter.
Yes, he is. Okay. He's a stud.
Would you trade him, Jones, at this deadline?
Yeah, for the right player, sure, of course.
So, no way.
So they won't. They won't. And I know they won't. And look, Pac-Man, I don't necessarily disagree with you, because this team has stunned me with how they've played.
What if it's Scherzer?
Stunned.
Like, what?
Scherzer's a free agent. You don't trade Casas.
Not for two months.
So he'll stay in Boston? What if it's another pitcher of that caliber who shakes free? Like, for the right player, I would trade Casas. Yeah, of course. No one in their farm system should be untouchable. That's silly.
Yeah, that right player isn't available because you're talking about getting something. I mean, like, you get somebody with term. I mean, yeah, okay, then I trade Tristan Casas, who's about to be one of the top prospects in baseball. He's legit. He's the only truly legit prospect they have. I'd make everybody else available in the right deal, even Duran, because I think he's a little overrated. But Casas, no. Not for this team, because that guy isn't out there. That pitcher who has 4 years of term is an ace isn't out there.
So, Pac-Man, I just want to make sure I'm understanding your point of view correctly, because you and I don't get to talk baseball a lot. Okay, so I'm trying to get the idea where you're coming from on it. So you would make the trade. You don't think that they will. And so am I correct in saying that you think then they're for real?
I think if you're sitting here with 51 wins right now and you think you can get an impact player, yeah, you should do that. You're in first place. You're almost to the stretch run. Like, this is your last opportunity to really add a piece like that. So, yeah, I think they're right there for it. I mean, baseball doesn't feel like there's a dominant, clear-cut, top-flight team, does it?
Not in the American League.
Not in baseball. The only team better than them is the Giants by record. Oh, you're going to say the Dodgers, maybe the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Dodgers, and I think the Padres are pretty good, too. I think those two teams are the best two teams on paper.
Okay, fine, but then we're talking about the World Series.
Yeah, no. And Adam, I'm not being a ball buster here. I'm asking because I think a lot of people here's the part that I think a lot of people are struggling with. The Red Sox have 51 wins, but they don't really believe it.
Right.
They don't really believe it. But if you want to trade Cassius, you do believe it.
No. If I'm getting a player back, then I'd really believe in them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, I get you.
Like, right now, are they going to win the World Series as currently constituted? No. I don't think a corner bat and a back end of the rotation starter is going to help them win the World Series either. You get a real impact player? Maybe. Like, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, I would trade just about any prospect in baseball if I'm any team. But, look, the Red Sox farm system is improving. I don't think they've reached the point where anybody should be untouchable in that farm system.
Okay. And look, and I think that's a totally fair argument. I'll tell you what. I think that the Red Sox went into this year, Pac-Man, saying what we said. They wanted to be competitive. They wanted to be in it. And I've never really heard anything from anybody over there to suggest otherwise until recently. We'll tell you what was said and by whom when we come back on Felger and Maz. McCarthy's Get Your Headlines.
Felger.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Maz.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me. Yes, absolutely. It's about me. No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Our expectations are to win the World Series, you know, and we're not even close. We had a great first half. We played well for a while. If you put everything in perspective this month, we didn't play well, and we won 18 games. That's how good we are. We can get away with mistakes, but we hate making mistakes. You know, we have to clean that up and keep getting better.
Standards are changing. Standards have changed. time to reassess, reevaluate, and ask something more of the 2021 Red Sox. And you know what? Alex Cora is doing it. Alex Cora is doing it. That cut right there from last night. That was before they even played today. But what are the expectations for this team? Jimmy, let's just play the very beginning of it again, because I think Cora is pretty blunt. Sorry, Jimmy, go ahead.
Our expectations are to win the World Series.
Bang. Our expectations are to win the World Series.
It should be, by the way. Okay. That now should be their expectation.
Point blank, end of story. Our expectations are to win the World Series. But the reason why I think it's noteworthy is because it's a departure from where they began the year. And for those who don't remember, and I do remember this, and I couldn't remember where I heard it, which should tell you plenty. Because where it was on the podcast I did with Cora. He said it. He said
very own interview.
Yeah. No, he said it to me. He didn't say it to anybody else. But I couldn't remember where it was.
The Tony Mass podcast is a must listen. Very memorable stuff. Please listen.
Seriously.
Great advertisement for it, Mass. Well done.
This is why my wife says to me, don't you remember you did that yesterday? And I'm like, I did? Like, I don't remember. I'm telling you, I have the attention span of a fruit fly. It's unbelievable, the stuff that goes in one ear and out the other.
That interview was a few months ago.
I really do. I have like a listening problem, or, you know, I'd call like an ADD or whatever, but not to get off topic. Anyway, Cora is now saying point blank, our goal is to win the World Series. End of story. Here's what he said. We'll play the whole answer for you, but again, the meat's at the beginning. But here's what he said when I asked him on the podcast, and you'll hear the question too. This was before the season began, right before the start of the season.
What should we expect from Alex Cora's Red Sox in 2021?
I'm not going to tell you here, like in 18, that, you know, is World Series a bust, because that was the case in 18, right? But this team that we have this year, like, we have a bunch of good baseball players, a bunch of them. Enrique Hernandez, Christian Vasquez, Marwin Gonzalez. Offensively, we're going to do our thing. We're going to score a lot of runs in different ways. Pitching wise, our rotation is solid. Our bullpen is versatile. We have a good baseball team, you know, a really good baseball team in a division that I feel like, you know, everybody has their question marks. And, you know, if you play good baseball over 162 games, you know, good things can happen. And I do believe we have a good baseball team. That's the way I put it for this year.
Okay, again, I'm not going to compare it to 2018. That was World Series or bust. But we have a good team.
Yeah, we're good.
We're going to be a competitive team. I think that's what Alex Cora was saying in the spring. Now, expectations are to win the World Series. They've amped him up over there too. I think they all see the same. They see what we see.
Does Bloom see it?
Bloom will not sacrifice the farm system to go get a stud player. He won't do it.
I don't know if there are many stud players, frankly, available.
Okay, but that aside, we'll
right?
Who
cares? I mean,
the question is, if there were, would he do it? My answer is no.
No.
That's such a shame. That's such a shame. Like, if you are adjusting Alex Cora, the players, like, they probably all think they, in their clubhouse right now, we can contend for a World Series. I'm sure they won't do nothing, but, like, a starter and a corner bat, as McCarthy suggested earlier, like, that might help you win a World Series. I'd like to think that they shoot a little higher than that, because they might be a player away from, you know, a World Series champion. I don't think, as currently constituted, they are. That should be their goal. But the trade deadline, I think, would be a significant piece there. And I would be willing to part with, even if it's not Cassis, and he's fine, he's untouchable. That seems crazy to me, but fine. Someone in this Red Sox terrible farm system that's improving is untouchable. Well, then you should trade some of those other guys in the top 10, the top 5.
I'll tell you, it's funny, because you know why, John? No. They didn't expect to be in this spot. They didn't expect to be in it.
Well, now you're here.
They didn't expect to be 20 games over 500 on July 1st, 30 days from the deadline, and have the second best record in baseball. They did not expect it. And so now the pressure gets amped up on High and Bloomier a little bit. Like, here you go. Now you've got a team that has surprised everybody. And the manager has said our expectations are to win the World Series. That's what the manager has said. Ed and Whitman on the Red Sox, and what really amounts to the key question on the team. Go ahead, Ed. Nope, no Ed. All right, Ed's gone. So Ed can go pound sand as far as I'm concerned. Go to hell, Ed.
Yeah, take that, Ed.
So here's what we'll do. When we come back, we'll take your calls on the Red Sox. You want to talk about Belichick, we'll continue to do that. But don't look now. You have a team that might actually be able to make some noise in October. Incredible as it seems.
Felger and Maz.
gotten together with friends, even if you don't like them. You've made dinner reservations. You're stuck in traffic. This is normal. Spend these hours talking sports with us at 98.5 The Sports Hub. It'll give your head a break from slamming it on the steering wheel.
Oh.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So it's Renfro and Gonzalez on. Lunges at that one. It's a high fly ball. Pretty well hit. Racing back. Dyson racing back. Leaps. He cannot get it. That ball is gone. How about Danny Santana? Like no stride there, and he cracks one into the bullpen, and the Red Sox are on top 5-0.
Wow, it's like he just flicked at that ball, like it wasn't even a complete swing. It looked like ball running away from him, and look, he just did the wrist roll over on it and takes it deep into the bullpen. My goodness, I had no idea that ball was going to travel that far.
Nobody did, Rem, because Danny Santana hit it. You have any calls I've taken, like, this week about how bad Danny Santana sucks?
Yeah, they've all come from me, Maz.
It's whoever they put in the leadoff spot, right?
I mean, except I guess he's not even there anymore. Enrique Hernandez now is back up there.
And I think Kike Hernandez is homered in, like, leadoff, like, 3 out of the last 5 games or something like that, including today. So he's heating up a little bit, in fairness to him. But, like, that leadoff spot where Danny Santana had been much of the year has been a bit of a disaster for them.
Oh, total disaster. That's how you know you're hot. When Danny Santana starts jacking balls over the bullpen. 3 hits today for Santana, including a home run that broke the game open, made it 5-0. He had 5 RBI.
What's he up to? 3 hits?
I don't know.
What's he up to? Like 150?
It's got to be 130 right there.
Yeah, he's 179. 179. Ooh. Of course, he struck out in the other 2 at-bats.
We're almost modern in Bradley player. Territory.
But this is it. This is the way things are going for the Red Sox. Danny Santana jacks one out of the ballpark today. And by the way, can I just say quickly, I got to get this off my chest. I mentioned this earlier. Boy, do the Royals suck.
They are
horrible.
Wow,
do they suck. And I'm not even talking about the pitching and the offense. Who's the jackass who was on second base today on the ground ball to shortstop and tried to go to third and got thrown out by 5 feet?
McCarthy?
I don't know who the jackass is, but he was a nameless, faceless member of the Kansas City Royals.
Salvador Perez did in game 1, too, right? Is he the one who got cut down at third base on, like, a ball that dropped into left field right in front of Verdugo? Like,
yes.
Like, yes, dumbass team. They did take 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox last week, but yes, a bad team.
What a nimrod. On second base, the ball's hit to his right. Marwin Gonzalez playing shortstop, and the jackass went. He had thrown up by 5 feet, you moron. Holy crap. Yeah. But again, this is the stuff the Red Sox used to do that I would kill him for. Now I have to kill the other team, which is fine. I'll find somebody to kill.
Sure.
What a cross to bear there, Maz. You have to. You're required to.
But really, they did not expect to be in this spot. They did not expect to be in this spot. And so now Chaim Bloom has to look at it and say, well, boy, Alex Cora just said he thinks that our expectation is to win the World Series. That's not what Cora was saying before the year.
No. And wasn't there something you gleaned from the lineup today with Bogarts and Cora that Cora's kind of managing a little bit differently?
Thank you for bringing this up, Pac-Man. Usually, and there was a game earlier in the year, if you remember, they played where they had an off day on Monday, and I think they had maybe lost a couple of games. I don't remember the exact circumstances, but Bogarts got sat in the series finale. And it wasn't just him. It was Bogarts, J.D. Martinez. Cora gave a bunch of them the day off. And I thought, what are you doing? This team can't afford to give games away. They're not that good. They're not as good as they used to be. 2018, that roster, 2007, 2004, you wanted to give a game away here and there because you wanted to protect Manny Ramirez's legs or David Ortiz's legs. Fine, no problem. Not this club. Today, after kicking the crap out of everybody for 6 days, they're going into the finale of a homestand, day game after a night game.
About to hit the road for
West Coast.
Yep, West Coast.
West Coast, sorry.
They're getting on a plane to fly out west, and they're going to play tomorrow night. They were all in there. Bogarts was DHing, but he was in the lineup. J.D. Martinez was in the outfield. Verdugo was in the lineup. They all played, for the most part. Okay, Dahlbeck had hamstring tightness the other night. He got taken out of the game, so he didn't play. But
right, but the important players were all in there.
Yes. Devers was in the ballgame. Yep. Verdugo's in the ball. All the big guns are in the ballgame.
Hunter Renfro. Santana.
Yeah, they're all in there.
Yeah.
Cora wanted the win. He wanted to ride it. He's looking at it going, we're hot. We're hot. We're kicking the crap out of a bad team. We got a bad club in here. We knocked the Yankees around. We got Evaldi on the mound. I want to win this game.
We're creating space between ourselves and the Rays, who just, I mean, at this time last week, the Rays were in first place. And now the Red Sox are 3.5 or whatever it is up.
So I just think that the lineup on a day like this can tell you a lot about how the manager feels about the team at that time. And there are times where, and you know, it's all about sort of momentum and everything else. There are times where the team's playing badly and the manager will, like I remember with Francona, and Cora's done it too, where the team's on a losing streak and you want to prevent a bad skid. All of a sudden the closer comes in the eighth inning. Manager wants the game. He wants the game because he thinks you got to put a stop to this.
A four-out save or something
like
that.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You can always tell if he does it a little out of character and gets aggressive, he wants the game. And in this case, I would say based on the way Cora has done it, today is a day that typically he would give some of his key guys a day off. You've played 6 games in a row. You just played the Yankees. You're playing the Royals. Day game after night game, and you're getting on a plane and flying west.
And playing tomorrow, which is the most important thing, too.
I mean, it's a quick turnaround.
Really quick.
He had them all in there. He wants to ride it. He's like the guy who's hot at the blackjack table in Vegas. He's like, I'm going to ride it. And that comment last night, Jimmy, if we could play it again, the one about, you know, what the expectations are. This is no small thing that Alex Cora has said here. Okay, Cora again about, this is now last night, expectations, June 30th, expectations for the Red Sox the rest of the year.
Our expectations are to win the World Series.
We could stop there, Jimmy. Plain and simple. Now, let's go back one more time. Let's go back to the beginning of the year and play just that shortcut from the podcast when we asked him basically the same thing. And the question's in there. So go ahead, Jimmy.
What should we expect from Alex Cora's Red Sox in 2021?
I'm not going to tell you here, like in 18, that, you know, is World Series a bust? Because that was the case in 18, right? But this team that we have this year, like, we have a bunch of good baseball players.
Let's stop there. Totally different.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, we're good. Versus we should win the World Series.
Yeah, our expectation is to win the World Series. Well, it's not like 2018, World Series or bust. That's a significant change.
Our expectations are to win the World Series.
I mean, he's completely come around. He's looking at it going, we get a shot. We get a shot now.
You better trade some prospects then.
So this is the dilemma. And this is why I say, Pac-Man, they did not expect to be in this spot. They thought that they were going to be competitive. And in a lot of ways, I would liken this year to 2013. They went out and got Napoli. They went out and got Victorino. I don't remember who the hell else was on that roster.
Gomes.
Johnny Gomes.
Yep.
So they went out and got those guys, and all those guys had a reputation of being what? Grinders, right? They would fight. They would play different positions, but they would compete. They were good, gritty ball players, but no superstars. They built a similar kind of roster. It's a little different because I think there's more versatility on this team. That was sort of their calling card. Marwin Gonzalez is going to play multiple positions. Verdugo can move around the outfield. He can play all 3 spots out there.
But he can.
Enrique Hernandez can play in the infield and the outfield. You know, Hunter Renfro can play defense and he's versatile. So they like the idea. Even Danny Santana plays outfield, infield, around. Not that I love him. Okay, right. But the point is the whole idea was, we're going to get guys who have some big league track records that can play a bunch of different spots. That'll help us get to 85 wins and we'll be in it. And we'll give our fans something that they can sink their teeth into because let's face it, we've sucked for a solid year and a half. We've been a real disappointment. And last year we didn't exist. Now they have the second best record in the league. They've won 7 in a row. They're on pace for over 100 wins.
And the division's crumbling around them.
Right.
Our expectations are to win the World Series.
100 wins. Who expect? Please, would you stop with that? Every time I say it, I laugh. 100 wins. And Chaim Bloom's not going to want to trade prospects at the deadline.
Great.
I mean, talk about a different set of problems.
Our expectations are to win the World Series.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, the story with this team this year. What a turnaround. So, top of the hour here. Matt McCarthy will get you caught up on headlines. We'll continue the discussion on the Red Sox. What do you want them to do with the deadline? It's only now. It's 4 weeks away. It's 30 days away. What do you want them to do? Would you give up a top prospect for this team? I wouldn't. Jones would.
Because I think you wouldn't, or you don't think the Red Sox would? You wouldn't?
I wouldn't. I wouldn't give up Tristan Casas.
No way.
I wouldn't do it.
Can't trade that guy. Okay. For this year.
Now, tell me that you can get a young pitcher who's got 3 years left on his contract. Would I give up Jaron Duran and something else? Well, now we can talk.
Marquez.
Okay, depending on who that is. But I'm not giving up Casas. I'm not. And I never in my wildest dreams thought the Red Sox would be in this spot. And you know what? Neither did they. Neither did they. So we'll take your calls on the Sox. We'll take your calls on Bill Belichick being listed as the top coach in the NFL, which much to the chagrin of the Dr. Death, Adam Jones, who's in today. After McCarthy gets you caught up on headlines on Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.